Okay, let's get into it. We're setting aside the usual stuff today for something a bit different, something with a real adventure potential. Planning a truly unforgettable golf road trip right through South Africa.
Yeah, and what's really interesting about this approach is that it's not just, booking a few tee times online. It's
Ooh.
about weaving together a whole journey where these amazing golf courses become like anchors for exploring the country itself.
Exactly. And we're drawing our map for this deep dive from a specific source today, an article we found on the Golf Day Buddy app. It's called How to Plan a Golf Road Trip, a South African Journey. So our mission really is to pull out the key insights, the practical tips, the things you need to know from this source to help you start planning your own South African golf adventure.
And South Africa, it really does offer this incredible mix, doesn't it? You've got genuinely world-class golf, these just stunning landscapes, and well, the hospitality is pretty famous too. It kind of sets the perfect stage for a road trip that goes way beyond just golf.
So true. Okay, so where does the article suggest you even start? You've got this big idea, South Africa, golf. What's step one?
Well, it says the absolute crucial first step is figuring out your destinations, specifically identifying the premier golf courses you really want to hit.
Right. The courses are the main event, kind of.
Exactly. And
Okay.
the article really emphasizes South Africa's, unique golf culture, how the landscape shapes the courses, think coastal versus inland, and just the general vibe and hospitality you'll find.
And it drops some big names right away, doesn't it? Like the Gary Player Country Club at Sun City, that one jumps out.
Oh, yeah. Iconic. The article calls the layout formidable, which sounds about right, and mentions the stunning vistas. Definitely sounds like a proper test of golf.
Definitely. And then for a totally different experience, it points you down south to Fancourt in George Coastal.
Right, described as a golfer's paradise. And the key thing there is it has three championship courses.
Wow, three in one place. That's pretty convenient if you want variety without packing up every day.
For sure. The article also mentions Royal Johannesburg and Kensington Golf Club, sort of highlighting its history, the big tournaments held there. You get that sense of tradition mixed with, modern standards.
Playing where the greats have played.
And one thing the source really points out is that these aren't just randomly picked famous courses. Playing them is like experiencing, and this is a quote, significant chapters in South Africa's rich golfing history.
I like that framing. It gives it more weight than just ticking off a course.
Yeah, you're walking in some serious footsteps. And for finding places, maybe a bit more off the beaten path, beyond the headliners.
The article suggests actually talking to other golfers, right?
Yeah.
And really digging into reviews online to maybe uncover those hidden gems.
Exactly. Community knowledge. So, okay, you've got a list of courses bubbling up. What's next, according to the source?
Next up is being really honest about the challenge level. Assessing the difficulty.
Makes sense. You don't want your dream trip turning into like 5 hours of hacking it out of the rough every day if that's not your game.
Or the opposite. The article mentions the huge variety, windy coastal links, more sheltered, rugged inland courses. They play completely differently.
So how do you match that to your game?
Yeah.
The article gives some pointers. Like if you're a beginner or maybe a higher handicapper, it suggests looking for more forgiving layouts.
Okay.
It actually mentions one of the courses at Fancourt, maybe the Altonico or Montague, rather than the links as offering that stunning beauty without perhaps the relentless challenge of, say, a windswept links course.
Ah, that's a good point because Fancourt also has the links, which is famously tough, so you need to research within a resort even.
Precisely. And then for the more experienced players, the ones looking for a real test.
Yeah, the article points to places like the Ernie Els course at Copperleaf, described as a true test of golfing prowess. Think strategic hazards, tough carries, maybe slick greens.
Right. So the big takeaway here, according to the article, is matching skill level isn't just about avoiding misery, it's about maximizing enjoyment.
Makes total sense. And they suggest maybe reaching out to local pros for the real inside scoop before you book anything. Get that local knowledge.
Good tip. Okay, courses picked, challenge level considered. Now for the actual journey, the road trip part, strategizing the route.
This is where it gets fun, right? Plotting it all out. The article calls this route planning key to an exhilarating adventure. So figuring out the sequence, the driving distances, how long it really takes between places.
Yeah, and using GPS or, even good local maps is vital. But here's a great tip from the source. Don't just look for the fastest route. Look for the scenic
Oh,
routes.
definitely. South Africa's got some crackers. They specifically mentioned the garden route.
Ah, yes. breathtaking.
Just picturing that drive, the coastal views between rounds, that sounds amazing. It really adds another dimension.
Turns the driving into part of the holiday, not just a chore.
Yeah.
And importantly, the article really pushes for building in flexibility.
Why is that?
For spontaneous detours and discoveries, you see a sign for something interesting, you have time to check it out.
Because South Africa is packed with potential detours. The article mentions exploring places like the Drakensberg Mountains or just soaking up the vibe in Cape Town between rounds.
Yeah, it loops back to that idea that the time off the course, the travel, the exploring, it's all part of the same great adventure.
Okay, so you've driven, maybe played a tough round, possibly taken a scenic detour. You need a good place to crash, accommodation. The article really stresses optimizing this.
Right, it's vital. Comfort, relaxation, being ready for the next day. And the key is choosing places strategically located near the courses you're playing.
Makes sense. Minimize that extra travel time. The source points to some pretty nice examples too, like Zimbali Coastal Resort.
Sounds plush. Unmatched luxury paired with top-tier golfing facilities. Yeah. They even float the idea of going from the course straight to the spa.
That sounds right. Another one mentioned is Arabella Country Estate, noted for breathtaking views and exceptional service.
Nice. And the article suggests looking out for golf packages, too. You know, bundles that include your room, maybe some meals, and your green fees.
Right. Saves hassle and maybe some money. Sun City Resort packages get a mention as an example where you can often find those.
Yeah. Value is key. And that proximity thing keeps coming up. Staying close to the courses maximizes your golf time or just your relaxing time.
And here's a really cool angle the source brings up, Leopard Creek.
Ah, the one bordering Kruger Park.
That's the one. Imagine seeing wildlife near the fairways. The article calls it a unique twist for your overnight stay. That's more than just a hotel room.
Totally. Imagine finishing your round and there's a giraffe wandering past. That's memorable. The article also advises checking the amenities, pools, spas, and definitely the dining options. Trying local food is part of it.
Absolutely. And finally, common sense but important, peck reviews, TripAdvisor, Booking.com, whatever. Make sure the place lives up to its promises on cleanliness, service, all that.
Yeah, you want your base camp to be a positive part of the trip.
Okay, destinations, route, accommodation sorted. What about the actual gear? Preparing your golf equipment.
Can't play without it. The article is clear. Getting your equipment right is crucial. Performance, yes, but also just a smooth trip.
It lists the essentials. Clubs, plenty of balls, you might lose a few. Tees, a sturdy golf bag. And importantly, weather-appropriate clothing.
Yeah, South Africa's climate can be really varied. Coast versus inland, morning versus afternoon, layers are your friend, maybe rain gear, just in case.
Good call. They also suggest extras like spare gloves, maybe an extra pair of shoes, especially if you're playing a lot or conditions vary.
And one detail the article raises is checking specific course regulations. It's rare now for club types, but dress codes are definitely still a thing, worth checking beforehand.
Absolutely. Don't want to get turned away. Now, what if lugging your clubs halfway around the world sounds like a nightmare?
Renting. The article says it's a totally viable option. Most good courses in SA offer quality rentals. It mentions this is especially handy if you're moving around a lot.
Just book them in advance, right? Especially at popular spots.
Definitely. And one last simple tip from the source. Inspect and clean your gear before you leave. Clubs, shoes, make sure they're ready to go. Helps them perform and last longer. Small things, but they matter.
Okay. Gear's ready, routes mapped, hotels are booked. Now the actual golf slots. Efficiently scheduling your tee times.
This is key for things running smoothly, says the article. Less stress, more golf. The number one piece of advice, book early.
Especially for the big name courses, right? And weekends or holidays.
Absolutely.
Use those online booking systems. Don't leave it till the last minute. But also, the article stresses building in flexibility.
Yeah, we talked about detours, but weather can interfere too, or travel delays.
Exactly. Build buffer time around your tee times. A slight delay shouldn't mean disaster.
And think strategically about where your tee time fits in your travel day. Use mapping tools to figure out travel time from your hotel or between courses if you're playing and driving on the same day.
Yeah, helps the whole trip feel less rushed. And a final scheduling tip from the article. Try to avoid peak times if you can. Weekends mid-morning, for instance. Why is that? Less crowded.
Often, yeah. Could mean faster play, a more relaxed pace overall. Worth considering if your schedule allows.
We've kind of touched on this already, especially with places like Leopard Creek or near Icy Mongaliso. But the article really gives it focus. discovering local attractions, making it more than just golf.
Yes. This is where the trip becomes a proper South African experience. The article actively encourages you to explore landmarks, cultural sites, you know, in the time you're not golfing.
That Zimbali example, again playing golf, then maybe heading to the Isimangaliso Wetland Park, that UNESCO site nearby, blending the two.
And the food. The article basically insists you have to savor the local cuisine.
Okay, what does it mention?
Things like a traditional braai, which is so much more than a barbecue. It's a whole social event, biltong, that amazing cured meat, and boba tea, a sort of spiced minced meat bake.
Okay, now I'm hungry.
And don't forget the drinks. South Africa is famous for its wine regions, and the craft beer scene is really taken off too. Visiting local restaurants, trying local wines and beers, it's all part of soaking it in.
The article also pushes engaging in cultural stuff, like visiting local markets, art galleries, maybe catching a festival if your timing's right.
Yeah, getting a feel for the local communities, often where you have the most memorable, unexpected moments.
And it wouldn't be South Africa without wildlife. The article suggests exploring nature reserves and wildlife parks is a perfect complement to the golf.
They mention the big ones, Kruger National Park, Addo Elephant Park, for going on safari, stepping away from the greens to see the animals and landscapes. That adds a whole other layer.
It really does. Okay, this all sounds fantastic, but let's talk brass tacks. Money. The final big section the article covers is establishing a realistic budget.
Crucial for a stress-free trip, right? The article advises breaking down all the potential costs.
So first up, the golf costs themselves. Green fees, obviously. But the source reminds you, they vary a lot by course prestige, by season, even day of the week. Research is key.
And factor in rental costs if you're not bringing your own clubs. Look for those package deals again.
Then, accommodation. Cost per night, how many nights? Plus associated costs like food at the resort, maybe using the spa.
And it notes, if you're traveling with buddies, splitting accommodation can make a big difference to the budget.
Good point. And finally, that additional spending category. Meals out, entrance fees for parks or attractions, souvenirs, that sort of thing.
Yeah, the article suggests maybe setting a rough daily allowance for those extras, the spontaneous things you'll inevitably want to do or buy.
It's about making sure you can actually enjoy all these amazing experiences, planned and unplanned, without worrying about every rand.
Exactly. Financial peace of mind.
So, okay, we've really walked through the article's whole roadmap here. Choosing where to go, checking the difficulty, planning the driving, sorting the stays, prepping the gear, booking the tee times, adding in all those amazing local experiences, and figuring out the budget. It's pretty comprehensive.
Yeah, this deep dive really shows that planning a golf road trip in South Africa, it's so much more than just the golf itself, isn't it?
It really is. It's about crafting this whole immersive experience where, you know, the challenge of the course meets the incredible beauty of the place, the culture, the people.
It definitely leaves you thinking, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
As you start dreaming up your own trip, the question becomes, how will you weave together South Africa's unique experiences around the Gulf? What's that unexpected moment, that amazing meal, that incredible view going to be that defines your South African golfing journey?